Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. I tell you what foods will bring you more sex, another reason why you shouldn't suppress your sexual fantasies, and why you should get over that masturbation guilt already. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Check out all of our blogs. We are not just a podcast. We do have like blogs and videos and a bunch of things to help you have better sex. And also follow us on social media. It's all at Sex with Emily across the board. I'm really excited to share with you that I actually had a dream come true, which I don't really know when that happens. It was actually a dream that I put away because I wasn't sure it was ever going to happen a few years ago. But I'm on Sirius XM this week from 5 to 7 Pacific and 8 to 10 Eastern. It's going to be Sex with Emily live on Sirius XM. It's on XM 109, it's the Stars channel. And it's actually LA drive time. So if you're in your car in LA, or you can also listen on the app, you guys, you can download it or you can get 30 days of Sirius free. You can get a trial if you want to listen to the show or call in. And I love doing live radio and I hope you'll join me and call in or at least listen and let me know what you think of it. And if you're interested in it or you're into it, you can also let them know. You can tweet them. You can email them and say, wow, that was really cool hearing Emily 5 nights this week while I was in my car or working out, because it actually be available on demand as well. So I don't know, you guys, 13 years, and I've always like, God, it'd be so cool to do a show 5 days a week. And I'm just excited to see you all there on Sirius XM. So it's going to be this week from June 4th to June 8th, Monday through Friday. I'll see you there. Sex in the news this week. Couples who eat a lot of seafood have more sex and get pregnant faster. I thought this was really interesting because it's actually a study that went on for 4 years. They did it at Harvard. These are all good things, you guys. Sometimes I hear these sex studies, it was like, we talked to 3 people, you know, and it was like done in my basement. I'm like, I am not talking about your study. But this was Harvard, 500 couples, 4 years, and the results were clear that more seafood intake was associated with having more sex. And it means that your fertility was peak and you were able to produce offspring. That's what it says. More seafood, higher fecundity, which means higher fertility. So it found that 92% of the couples who ate fish and shellfish at least twice a week could get pregnant within the year. They didn't set out to prove the link between seafood and sexual intercourse, so the results was shocking to them as well, and they're not really sure what is driving this association. But what I loved about this is that it goes on to talk about the links between food and sex, which I get asked all the time. Like, is it true that if you eat more oysters that you'll have more orgasms or it'll be an aphrodisiac? So let me tell you what they found here. This all made me very happy. Guacamole can help you hook up. Apparently, if you're looking for sex, having some guacamole or at least mentioning it in your dating profile can help you get laid. Mentioning guacamole in a message got you 114% more replies than not mentioning guacamole if you're dating online. So don't say, I never taught you anything, because apparently if you're like, want to get some guac and chips, I would actually spell guacamole. Good chance for you that night. Some luck and some happiness. An apple a day can help you roll in the hay. Apparently, if you eat an apple every day, it can improve lubrication and overall sexual function. So keep that in mind next time you're at the grocery store. I had a thing for apples growing up. I'm telling you, when I was a kid and all through my 20s, I literally always had green apples in the house. And I don't know why I don't anymore, but I'm going to go get some more apples. It's a good reason to eat apples. Men and women think about sex more than food. So there was a study that found that women think about sex once every 50 minutes compared to men who think about it every 28 minutes. When it comes to food, women think about it every 62 minutes while men think about every 38 minutes. So women think about food less than once an hour. Is this the average woman? I'm not really sure, but I'm glad to think that we're all thinking about sex more frequently. Like all these things that we hear about, like men are the ones who are thinking about sex all the time or men are the ones who want it. No, women, we equal opportunities here. We think about sex. We want sex. We enjoy sex. And some foods can mess with your sex drive. There was a sex educator and she found that some major players, you guys, major players like dairy and carbohydrates can mess with your testosterone levels and therefore your sex drive. I'm not saying you got to throw out all the dairy and carbohydrates right now. I just think if you're like every single meal, you're having tons of dairy and tons of carbs, it probably says a lot about your overall health. So just like everything else, you guys, the more balanced you are with your food, with your diet, and the more you just live in moderation, the better sex you're going to have overall. So again, don't go all dramatic on me here, but if you're like constantly, you're like having ice cream for dessert and you're putting like a half a carton of cream in your coffee every day, we should probably talk, but you're probably going to be fine. So I just love that sex and food are all linking up here. Speaking of things that mess with your sex drive and not necessarily in a positive way, there is research that suggests that religious suppression of sexual thoughts only creates more preoccupation with those thoughts. So the more we're trying to not think about sex or we've been brought up learning that sex is wrong, the more we're going to compulsively think about sex and want to have sex. A new study suggests that the willful suppression of sexual ideas, thoughts, and fantasies creates a stronger preoccupation with these fantasies and thoughts. The effect is pronounced in religious communities with strong sexual norms or taboos. This makes total sense. You ever think about, like, you know, if you've ever tried to be on a diet, for example, or you have like, have a jar of cookies in the office. I don't know if people put cookies in a jar, but I know we bought 15 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. We're like, today, if you ever think about this, I'm not going to have a cookie or I'm not going to eat dessert or I'm not going to smoke cigarettes or whatever your thing is, the more you want it. So it would make sense absolutely that the more you're trying to repress sexual thoughts, you're going to be preoccupied with them. So this study was mostly done on Jewish Orthodox teens and secular teens. So teens that were not as religious. And they found that overt portrayal of normal sexual development like masturbation and sexual exploration as dirty or forbidden only strengthen the chance that teens will develop compulsive sexual behavior and stronger preoccupation with these topics. So basically, if your religion is saying sex is wrong, don't masturbate, don't have sex, these students are going to be obsessed with sex. The survey also found that religious teens were substantially more likely to claim they were suppressing undesired fantasies and sexual thoughts. So, you guys, it's not just in religious societies, but everywhere we really need to discuss sexuality and deal with it in the right manner at the beginning of adolescence. And you guys, even elementary school, I'm telling you, the earlier that kids are seeing images now of sex and asking about sex and talking about sex, that's when we have to start educating on them. Because if we just ignore it or we tell them it's wrong or they can't masturbate about the time that they're discovering their penises or women are discovering their bodies, they're going to start to develop more compulsive sexual behavior. And I feel like this is really becoming an epidemic more and more because I feel like we realize how much more kids are, again, they're learning about sex early at an earlier age. And so kids are like locked up watching porn in their rooms, thinking, you know, feeling insecure perhaps about their bodies, their performance and how sex should be. And they go out in the world and they have sex and it doesn't match up. So they have really bad sex education in porn. I'm putting that in quotes, education, because porn is not education. And then they're disappointed by sex or they're not having sex. So you guys, start talking to your kids about it. I'd love to hear from you also what you're doing in your community and if I could come speak to your kids. No, really, like I think this is something that needs to happen right now and in a way that we all feel good about. Because I feel bad for parents too, because a lot of kids, I understand, don't necessarily want to hear from their parents about sex. This reminds me of the saying, whatever you resist in your life persists. So if you've been resisting having that talk with your partner about something, it's not going to go away. Or if you've been resisting dealing with sexual trauma or just any issues in your life, problems with your parents, problems at work, you guys know this. There is something in your life now that's been going on for so long. Like maybe you haven't gotten in shape or maybe you haven't quit smoking or you haven't started grad school. There's so many things in our life. And unless you make peace with it and you're like, you know what? I'm never going to get that degree and I'm okay with it. Or I'm never going to make peace with my parents and I'm okay with that too. That doesn't persist. If you really, truly work on it and you decide that that's the choice, but if it's in your mind, we all have those lists. So those things that we want to get to or things we want to accomplish it. And I think you've probably realized when you don't deal with it, it's still there. So the same goes with sex. The more we just try to brush it under the rug, pretend it doesn't exist, we don't have to talk to our kids about it, or I don't know, we're in some kind of place with religion that they're telling us not to masturbate or sex is wrong. This is what's happened. We're going to want it even more. So another thing that happens when we don't talk about sex, we have people like Harvey Weinstein, which you probably heard last week. He was indicted on multiple rape and sex crime charges by the grand jury. And that same day, I was actually also on HLN talking to them about Morgan Freeman, beloved Morgan Freeman. Everyone was like, no, no, not Morgan Freeman. He was accused of inappropriate behavior by 16 women. 8 said they experienced inappropriate behavior, inappropriate comments on different sets. He was giving unwanted massages, touching their backs. You know, some said he was like a creepy uncle. There was a survivors club because there was no formal HR department. And while these allegations against Morgan Freeman are also upsetting because we're like, really, not Morgan Freeman. I love Morgan Freeman. You guys, I get this. I mean, I understand why women weren't speaking up. I mean, I feel like the good news about Me Too now and all this is that I feel like we're in a very different time right now. We are. It's not, we've never been in a time where we're going to see change. I think that we'll still have cases come out like this, like there'll be other Morgan Freemans, but I think we're at the time now we want to know what do we do? Like, how do we move forward? And so I went on HLN, we talked about that. She asked me, I was on Michaela's show. She's like, how do we know, for example, if we've crossed the line? Because I think the other thing that's happening with all these allegations is I've got a lot of guy friends who are like, I don't even know what to do in my office anymore. Like I used to tell my, you know, people work, women who work with me that I thought they looked nice today or, you know, give them a hug on their birthday. But can we do that anymore? When do we cross the line? And I think the line is different for everybody. And that, you know, people know when they're crossing the line. I think that we kind of know. And maybe with Morgan Freeman, he's been crossing the line for so long that he wasn't even at 70 years old thinking like, oh, wow, I'm really hurting these women here that I'm giving her a massage. He's gotten away with it for so long. So I'm not saying that this exonerates him of any of this of these allegations, but I'm also saying that it's a different culture right now, that there weren't consequences in the past. But now we see that there's going to be consequences. But the problem with the line also, I think, is that in the past, offenders would get off on being on the wrong side of that line. Like there was like a thrill. It's like it's a drug to them, perhaps. Like, oh, I'm going to get if they were even aware of the line. But that's not going to happen anymore. This is more about power. This is more about an affirmation about power for men. And I think we can all agree that the line is about respect. Like, you know, if you're not respecting someone. Think about how you would treat your mom or your aunt or your sister. I mean, if you're not sure where the line is, like, is this something I would say to or the guy in my office? Would I say these things? If something in your body's going, no, that doesn't really feel appropriate, I wouldn't do that, then you're probably crossing the line. Like, there's no need if you're working with someone to touch a small on the back, give them a massage. You know what's inappropriate. The thing about all these Me Too things also, you might hear some of these cases and think, well, that's just locker room talk. Like, that's just guys being guys or, oh, Morgan, he's just being a pervy old man. But like, how do we like change the culture of these interactions? I mean, the reality is, I think that people were more afraid and oftentimes of making things awkward than protecting what's right. Like, people knew what Harvey Weinstein was doing. People kind of knew, you know, oh, that's Morgan, you know, he's just being weird. Just let him give you a back massage. But I think that now we're ready to protect what's right. We have to practice speaking up and not being afraid to make things uncomfortable. It's kind of like dealing with bullying, you know, like at the core of this, it is sexual bullying. So like, assess the danger, you know, women need a roadmap of how to deal with being bullied sexually. So it's like, if you can't confront the bully, you can talk to someone in human resources. You can talk to someone in your office. Like, I think that it's a different time where women won't have to deal with unwanted touching and looks and glances. And you guys, I'm not saying that this isn't happening still, but what I'm saying is if it does happen, that we just need to speak up. And it's awkward at first. It's just like talking about sex. You know, I always say to you guys, it might be really awkward the first time. You're like, wait, let's talk about our sex life. I really need more... Whatever you want in the bedroom. Talking about this in the workplace or wherever you're at, if you're awkward with family or friends or you don't feel safe, I understand that this is also a new skill, but it's okay to speak up, to be loud, men and women, and to say, this is not okay. The way things you're saying make me uncomfortable. Because a lot of these guys we're talking about have been getting away with this for so long. It's systematic. It's one of the systematic problems that exists in the entertainment industry, but in so many other industries. I actually used to work in politics before I worked in this industry. I know people, it happens to them who's working at Starbucks. Their boss might be doing, you know, making them feel uncomfortable. So it's happening everywhere. I just think that when people want to know what to do now and where we're going, it starts with you. It starts with me saying, like, you know what? This didn't feel right to me. This makes me feel uncomfortable. Because just because we haven't had any new allegations, I'm willing to bet that there's a lot of people who have been crossing the line for so long, they actually don't realize it, and they're going to appreciate it. They're actually going to appreciate you saying, you know what? That doesn't work for me. And we're all going to be changing this together because we're all in it together. We got into it in a very, like, in a systematic way that's been happening for so many years. And now we have to undo it in real time, in the moment, and speaking up. And I think that the culture is changing, and that I don't really think that we're actually in a sex crisis right now. I think that we're in a crisis of connection and a crisis of communication, and we really need to learn how to communicate more and connect more with people around us and talk about things that are bothering us and that aren't going well. And I think that we're going to see a lot of really great things happening from a really dark place. So I'm hopeful with what I've been seeing and what I've been hearing, and I would love to hear from you as well, because I'm here to help. I'm here to help us all live better lives. Okay, guys, I'm going to move on to your emails in a minute, but I want to give a shout out to our sponsors because we love them, and I'll be right back answering your questions. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low-net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. I love answering your questions. Thanks everyone for sending them in. If you want a question answer on the show, you can text Ask Emily all one word to 797979. fill out the short form or go to sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab and include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. This is from Violet, age 25, in Los Angeles. Hey, Emily, my boyfriend and I have been together for over a year and we are absolutely perfect for each other, except for one thing. I don't believe in monogamy and he definitely does. I've gone the monogamous route with him this year because it's so important to him, but I'm really starting to feel conflicted. I want to be with him forever, but I also want the freedom to be with girls. I'm bisexual. He's not okay with me doing anything without him, but we have no luck finding a third, which he is on with as long as he's a part of it all. How can I work past these feelings of wanting to be with other people so that I can be with him? Okay, Violet, sweetie, this is great. Here's the thing. You're perfect, except for one thing. But guess what? This one thing is a big thing, really big, like massive thing. So I would say you guys have a lot of fun together and you're really great right now. But this is something that you need to explore right now in your life. And I think when you try to repress it, like I just talked about, whatever resists will persist. You're attracted to women. You know that about yourself. I love that you know that you're bisexual. And I also love that you know that you're not that into monogamy, which is kind of a precursor to being with somebody. Like that's like your bottom line. Those are your, right now where you're at 25, you're telling me not into monogamy and you're more into women. And he doesn't want you to do either one of those things. So I'm going to say that this is something that I think you're going to have to get this itch scratched eventually on your own, it sounds to me. So I understand that you're also in a great place with them right now and you're not ready. You know, you want to try to make it work. So let me give you some tips here, but also understand that you got to trust your gut and trust yourself and what you're telling yourself. Like it's all real. So trying to change yourself because you think you should be another way doesn't often work, especially when it comes to sex and who we're attracted to. If you'd like to try it out with him, though, and finding a third, you said, hasn't been lucky for you, and you're in Los Angeles, you're looking for a unicorn, which I don't know why they call it unicorn. They do call it unicorn. It's like the hardest thing to find in the world is that third person. There's apps you could find. Field, I think, is one that people really, really like, F-E-E-L-D. And I think you got to be really honest with what you're looking for, finding this third person. And so there's also, what else is there? FetLife. Did they shut FetLife down? We're looking up other apps right now, but your question here, how can I work past these feelings of wanting to be with other, we're going to go back to this, sweetie. How can I work past these feelings of wanting to be with other people so I can be with him? You're not going to. Like, you're really not, because what you're saying is you can't work past feelings that are so deeply ingrained within you. I think that there might be some compromise here. He might not get that it's actually something that you require, but it doesn't mean you guys can't be in an open relationship and where he's your primary partner. And I think a lot of people run screaming for the hills when they hear this, like, oh my God, I can't imagine my partner being with someone else. That'll never work. But I'm here to say this is the time to be in a alternative relationship, a modern relationship, and that there's a lot of great resources out there. I love the book Opening Up by Tristan Taramino. It's a great book to read. That while your boyfriend's saying, no, 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 I need to be there all the time, if you guys really kind of sink into a deeper, more open, like communicative place where he knows what that looks like maybe you see other women, but you still come home to him every night. There's other things, places you guys need to go and things you need to talk about. So I'm not sure that you're ready to give that all up for your boyfriend at 25. So those are your choices. Either you repress it and find a third person, or you kind of do something in the middle here and you compromise where you both get what you want. Okay, Violet, let me know how it goes. This is from Nellie, age 20, in New Zealand. Hi, Emily. I've had non-consensual sexual experiences with an ex and been in a two-year relationship with another guy who was emotionally abusive, which seriously affected my sexual and general confidence. I've never felt like it's okay to show pleasure in front of someone, and I'm body conscious when having sex, although I'm very fit. While I masturbated from a young age and do orgasm infrequently with my current boyfriend, I put pressure on myself to orgasm. Also in the past, I've been made to feel like my high sex drive is abnormal. I really love having lots of sex all the time, but I feel shame about this. I'm currently with a lovely supportive boyfriend, but find all the baggage I carry is affecting what we have, which makes me even more anxious. What can I do? I don't know how to explain to him the effect of an emotionally abusive relationship and its impact on sex. Thanks, your podcasts are really liberating. Thank you, Nellie. Your email was really thoughtful, and I'm so glad that you reached out to me, because I feel like you have been through a lot, sweetie, and I love that you're so self-aware and you understand that all these things will have an impact on your life. You know, you've had non-consensual sexual experiences, you were with an emotionally abusive guy. You had someone tell you that you had too high of a sex drive. I mean, you've had a lot of it. So I understand why you'd be anxious, because you actually don't know what it feels like to be in a healthy relationship. So these are all really great questions. And your question specifically is, how do you explain to him the effect of an emotionally abusive relationship? I think he probably knows. Like, I think that, I'm trying to think how it's manifesting right now, but you could just let him know that you're going to work on yourself. And what I think this means is therapy. And I'm telling you, you can find someone who specializes in sexual trauma. You can just find a really great, you know, therapist. I would say go to 2 to 3 people till you find someone you like, because when you get into a therapy relationship, it's actually like getting into a real relationship. It's someone that you see once a week for about a year, and they help you work through this stuff. Because I feel like the fact that you don't feel comfortable masturbating in front of someone, and you're having like body issues, and which so many of us do, that this is just a lot to pile on right now and to be in a relationship with someone. So I think what you want to explain to him is, I want to be the best partner, the best girlfriend for you, and be honest with them. You have nothing to lose, but saying like, I love having sex with you. In the past, I've been told these messages that aren't true, and I want to get to a place where I'm really comfortable around you, but these are the ways that I'm not. And he might feel like, say things that are going to make you feel a lot safer and a lot more like healthier in the relationship when you're just honest about it. I'm not sure how much you've shared with him, but I can tell you, the more honest you are about what you're struggling with, he'll understand the impacts that it's had. So you don't need to break through what exactly the guys did to you unless you want to, but you can also just start with how you feel right now that you want to be the best partner to him in the relationship. Another thing in here, it makes me so angry that this guy said to you that your sex drive was abnormal, because I hear this all the time, that women, we're told that anything we want that makes men uncomfortable makes us wrong, or that something's wrong with us. So we hear all the time that, wow, a woman, if she has a high sex drive, you know, she's not normal, or she's a sex fiend. And none of this is true. Like, none of this is true at all. Like, I love that you have a high sex drive. I love that you want sex all the time. I'm sure that your current partner does too. So I could tell you right now, and I know you've been listening to the show, that these are not things that you should beat yourself up for, because what I'm seeing in this is like a really smart, articulate, self-aware 20-year-old woman who has an amazing life ahead of her, and you will move through all of this stuff. Like, the fact that you're able to tell me about it. So that's what I see. I know that you don't feel that yet, but just know that you're going to get there, and talking to your partner and finding a good therapist is going to do wonders for you and your incredible sex, where you feel like you deserve it and know that it's everything that you want, is right around the corner for you. This is from Kate, 22, Texas. Dear Emily, I don't ever have a problem getting wet whenever I have intercourse, but whenever I use a condom with my boyfriend, I can never get wet. I dry up super quick, and even if we use lube with a condom, it still kind of hurts because I'm so dry. Is there a reason for this happening? First of all, I want to say that it probably is lube. So here's the first thing you can do. It could be because of latex. If you're using a latex condom, there's a lot of women who are allergic to latex, or it's just too drying for them. I love Skin condoms, SKYN. They're non-latex and they're great condoms, and you can get them anywhere. Try lubricated condoms. Skin also makes extra lubricated condoms. And I would also say, though, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here. Are you 100% certain that you never get dry in any other circumstance? Because I think that a lot of times we just understand that our bodies change throughout the month. Like, when we're ovulating, we might be more wet or less wet, or we might be really turned on and not wet, or wet and not turned on. So our wetness levels are not necessarily an indicator of arousal. So I want to make sure that you are getting enough foreplay, and that he's taking care of you, and that you're keeping, you know, that you're getting turned on and that you're engaged. Because when I read this twice, I thought, I wonder if it's just the times where he's like, let's get right to sex, and he puts the condom on and you're not ready. Because that happens so often for women, that we just think, oh, well, the condom's going on and I should be ready for sex. And I can tell you, in most cases, we're not. So we require more clitoral stimulation. We require more, you know, oral sex, foreplay, and definitely lubrication. So I would try these kind of condoms, and I would try a different kind of lube. I mean, I love Joe Lube. Silicone lubes are great. They last longer. So I would play around with all this. I don't think that there is necessarily a problem that we can't solve if you try any one of these things, and let me know how it goes. Thanks, Kate. This is from Aaron, 29, in England. Hello, Emily. I'm a man who has always admired and desired a feminine lifestyle, appearance, and sex life. Growing up, this urge was repressed, but as a young adult, I started experimenting with cross-dressing on my own at home. It felt so liberating that recently I've gone further and left the house. At night, usually, as I still don't feel confident enough in daylight, wearing a blouse and skirt. My background is Indian, and I also enjoy wearing saris in the house, but not in public yet. I'm feeling self-conscious and worrying how it's perceived when people see me. My question is, honestly, how do you think people react to this? Does society really accept this? My face and hair is clearly masculine, so it's apparent to onlookers that I'm not biologically female, though I want to be. I'd feel better if accompanied by someone, but I haven't discussed this with people I know. Thanks for the great work you do, Emily, and for your time in reading this. Okay, Aaron, this is a really great question. So we see that this is something you repressed growing up, and I love that you started to experiment with this on your own. I think a great way to start is in your house. I've heard from a lot of men over the years that they're like, I like cross-dressing. They're like, I'm straight, but I like wearing women's clothing, and that's what I'm into. I have a few questions for you that I need some clarification. You say that you're not biologically female, although you want to be. So I'm curious if you think that you are transgender, that you think, well, maybe you actually would like to be a woman, or if it's more about just wearing women's clothes. I'm just curious about that either way, because that's a bigger conversation. If you're interested in just cross-dressing, I have to say that, like, when I lived in San Francisco, I wouldn't blink if someone walked past me. Man, woman dressed in, you know, if there was a man with a full beard and heels walking around in a skirt any time of day, any day of the week, in a dress, or even Los Angeles. I feel like we're not going to, like, judge. We're not going to be like, oh my God, that's so crazy. Because you asked me, how do I think people react to this? Does society really accept this? I'm going to tell you no. I think that a lot of people in society do not accept it. They will look twice. They may make fun of you. They're going to look. They're not used to it. I think that we still have a long way to go in that regard. So I feel like it's really up to you and your comfort level. I think that it's great to make a statement, and I want you to go out and be you and do you. And I think that talking to your friends about it and saying, you know, you say you have no one to accompany you, I'll bet that the more honest you are with friends, like the ones that you really love and the ones that you trust, they probably would accompany you out, and you'd start to get more confidence. So I really just think that this might take some work. I mean, you said you were repressed as a young child. I'm going to say, if this is something that you really want to try and you want to go out there in the world and not sure what your job is and judgments, all that stuff, that this might be also a great place to get some therapy, or at least start talking to friends and figuring out if this is something that you want as a lifestyle, if it's just a few times a week or once a month, and kind of gauging where you're at on this. Because it's one thing to be repressing and just feel like, oh my God, I just got to wear a skirt sometimes. And then maybe you'll be like, oh, I'm doing it now and it's better, and I feel better, and I no longer have this nagging urge. Or if it's more like, no, I think I'm transgender. I should be in a woman's body. So there's layers to this. And I think that the fact that you emailed me is a great first step, and to continue exploring your own with your friends, with people you trust, and maybe seek some therapy would be amazing. At the end of the day, Aaron, whether you want to wear women's clothes or if you're transgender, you have my support. I just want you to be comfortable doing you and to get to the bottom of it sooner or later. This is from Carlos, 33, in Texas. Hi, Emily. I'm in the middle of trying to start a long-distance relationship with a wonderful girl out of state. It started off meeting online. We text and talk every day, have met each other a few times now, with each time getting better. While we've become physical with one another, we still haven't had sex, which isn't a big deal for me. However, as we get closer, my sexual attraction to her has grown, and so has my sex drive, which has led me to masturbation. The thing is, though, I've been feeling increasingly guilty for some reason after masturbating. I usually rely on written erotica or porn, but I feel guilty getting off thinking of other women. If I think about her, I feel guilty about thinking about her in that state, since we haven't become intimate yet. And I've never had this issue with past relationships before. Help. Thank you in advance. All right, Carlos, this question is just chock full of good stuff. Okay. So I so appreciate you articulating this and your honesty. So you're in the middle of maybe trying a long-distance relationship, and you've got a whole lot of stuff going on here. So I think that, first off, have you ever been in a long-distance relationship before? And if so, has it moved this slowly before? Have you ever moved this slowly sexually? And I think that what you're caught up in now is, like, there's this anticipation, and you're not in the same city, and you talk and you text every day. So your mind, you know, our brain is the largest sex organ. Like, you're creating this whole thing around her. Like, she's like your partner, perfect woman for your life. And she's going to, she's holier than thou, and if you masturbate, she might judge you, and she's going to be amazing, and you're certain, and all these things, and you haven't had sex yet. And it's not even long distance yet. It's like you're working on it being long distance. So I'm wondering just kind of more about, could this all be in your head that you're creating this to be something that it's not? And then also, I'm wary about long-distance relationships in general when they don't have an end point. Like when it's like, we're going to be long-distance forever. Yeah, it's just for 5 years, she's in grad school and he's working in some job. No, you have to, if you get a long-distance relationship, it's really good to know that in a year from now, we're thinking of being in the same place. But just to like put all this pressure on yourself for something that isn't even long-distance yet is what it's what giving me pause. I also want to know, was there guilt in the past? Was there anything from your upbringing that you can remember about, you know, masturbation or sex that just makes you feel like it was wrong, or that it's wrong that you're masturbating? Because typically this doesn't just show up. You said you're not used to feeling this in the past, but it'd be interesting to kind of explore that and think, I wonder if this is kind of familiar. You've got nothing to lose here, because I think that you guys, sounds like you really do have a great attraction for each other, and it's mutual for what it sounds like. But I would also think that you got to be honest with her. You've got nothing to lose by being honest, and I would set like a Skype date or a FaceTime date, which I think is a great thing to do when you're in long-distance relationships. Not just texting and not just talking, but actually sitting there, maybe both eat dinner together, you know, on the phone while you're looking at each other, and have a talk with her and be honest. And you're going to find out a few things. You can find out that she's totally supportive about your, like, about feeling weird about masturbation or not. She might be like, oh, masturbation's wrong, in which case you're going to find out how open she is sexually. And take it from there. Like, I feel like this is when you got to get honest with someone. You got to be honest early on and start to talk about these things. I'm not saying you got to like, hey, babe, is that chicken good? And what do you think about me masturbating? Talk about sex with her. Talk about how you can't stop thinking about her, how you're really excited to see her. Does she fantasize about things? You know, kind of ease into it, but talk about your connection or what was really hot last time you saw each other, and then let her know. Like, you can ask her if she masturbates and say, I do. But here's a funny thing. Sometimes I masturbate, but I've been feeling guilty about it lately. Because really, I really want everyone to talk about sex like how I'm talking about it to you. I want you to feel comfortable. I promise you that the couples who talk about sex early on, the sooner they get together, the sooner they talk honestly and openly about sex, the better sex they're going to have. So you're smitten with this girl. You're really into her. So I think your next call or the next time you talk, start to put some of this stuff on the table so you're not wasting anyone's time. And I promise you, no matter what happens here, you're going to be learning a lot about yourself. And you're also going to find out if this is a long distance relationship that can actually go the distance. Thanks, Carlos. Send me an update. Thanks, guys, for listening to the show. Don't forget to check me out on Sirius this week from June 4th to June 8th. I will be there 5 to 7 Pacific on Stars 109. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, volunteer Sarah, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.